something is sudden. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This message is titled,
Three Kinds of Wisdom.
Hallelujah. So I want to begin tonight to share on three kinds of wisdom. Yes. And during the course of our study, we will have time to look at what the Bible calls the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this world. Okay? Those ones. But I want to look at three kinds of wisdom that pertain to us, because in the teachings of the scripture you would find references for wisdom that is not from God. Someone is intelligent but in the wrong direction. He's smart but he uses it to be a thief. You understand? A very smart thief. And God doesn't like that. So, we're looking at three kinds of wisdom. And then we'll see how we can apply these things in our lives. The reason for failure in life is the lack of wisdom. You see that? The reason why most men never attain to a great deal of success, the reason why they never come up to what God really wants for them. Let's look at God's idea. He spoke to Abraham and said, I want to make you great. Abraham didn't say, oh God, please, I'd like to be great. No, he didn't ask for it. But God said, I want to make you great. Which means whether or not you intended it, this is God's dream. He said, I want to make you great and I want to make you a blessing. You see that? So God wants you to be a blessing. God wants the whole world to benefit from your coming. The fact that you were born. Just imagine if Thomas Edison hadn't done anything about incandescent light. Who knows what darkness would have been. But because he worked on it, it's been developed to what we have today. Think about the Wright brothers. And what did he? I just wonder if flying would have been possible today. Somebody had to think. When you are born again, you become the seed of Abraham, whom God said, I will make you great. And God said, your seed. He said, through your seed, the nations of the world will be blessed. And the Bible says that we are the seed of Abraham. So it's our inheritance. It's our calling to be a blessing to this world. It's our calling to effect changes, positive changes. You are in this world as an agent of change. positive change. And you see, if you never hear about it, if you never get to know, you may never become. You have to hear about it. You have to know what your calling is. What the Lord expects of you. And once you know it, the next thing is to begin to apply it. Hallelujah. So at every stage of your life, you can be a success. Success is not measured at the end of your life. Success is measured at different stages of your life. You can tell whether you're a success today. Now. Are you a success right now? You can tell. You can look at your life and tell whether or not you're a success. I started teaching on success as a student in the school, in the university. And before I went into the university, I was teaching, I had leadership training programs. I was teaching on leadership. Maybe one of these days I'll get some of those notes and read some of them out to you. It just didn't cross my mind that I had to become an old man first to know what success was. Solomon was a young man when God made him a success. Are you still there? Yeah. Success is measured at different stages of your life, different points of your life. And you know, God's dream is for you to heap success upon success. Success upon success. If you're successful now, He can count on you for another level of success. Remember what He said. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He said, every branch in me that produces fruit, He says, my Father will prune it so it can produce more fruit. You see, if you're productive, the Lord would work on you so you can become even more productive. Then He said, you become my disciples when you produce much fruit. So when you get to the level of much, He says, now you're really following me. You see, I told you about the lambs and the sheep. The lambs don't follow the shepherd. They follow the sheep. So when you are productive, when you become productive, producing much, I said, then you are my disciples. So there are different stages of discipleship. Hallelujah. So you can be very, very successful and success. You see, you become success conscious. If you're successful today, you become success conscious. It means tomorrow you're going to be successful again. Some people have failures and they keep failing too many times in their lives. You're a failure when your boss cannot depend on you. You're a failure. You're a failure when a project is committed into your hands and it fails. You're a failure. You understand? You have failed when those around you can find that you are dispensable and they can do better in your absence. You have failed when a project is committed into your hands and you come up with excuses. There are people who are always making excuses at work. There's a reason they couldn't do it. There's a reason they couldn't do this. Oh, my boss is against me. Oh, the head of our unit doesn't like me. Oh, the branch manager doesn't like me. That's why. They give excuses and excuses and excuses. Only failures make excuses. If you're a success, you don't make excuses. You produce results. You win. And there is an attitude for success. That attitude is an attitude of victory. You just can't be beaten down. Sadness is not a part of your life. You learn, you train yourself. You train yourself to be excited every day, happy, happy, ready to confront life's crisis, ready to solve problems, ready to answer questions, because that's what you were born for. Answering questions, solving problems, being a blessing. Hallelujah. What a life. But then the ingredient of it is wisdom. Praise God. The book of Colossians. I want you to look first from chapter 1. Or maybe before I take you there, go to chapter 2. Let's speak two things here. Hallelujah. Ooh, mine, oh mine. I'll read from verse 1, chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. And that word sometimes is pronounced Laodicea by some, okay? Verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now that verse sounds big, but we'll break it, okay? Now look at verse 3. The last word in verse 2 is what? Give it to me, come on.
Christ.
What's the last word in verse 2?
Christ.
Okay, verse 3. In whom? Christ in whom? Hid. Hey, hey. Hey. Christ in whom? In whom are hid? All right? Hid? Oh, my goodness. Oh, calm down, calm down. Christ, in whom are hid? Oh. All the treasures, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I feel like tearing everything. Did you notice he didn't say Jesus, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Did you notice that? He says Christ. He says the Father and then Christ. Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The word, the Greek word for wisdom here is Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, all right? Sophia. Sophia means insight into reality. It means all the collective understanding of all things. Are you getting this? Sophia is the insight into reality. For example, you look at this from there, all you see is the shape, you see the color, and then they tell you what it is. But the next thing you're going to know is you're going to have all the information that you can get. All right? Now the word, he says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He says, Sophia and Gnosis, meaning all information that you could ever mentally assemble. You get it? Now, insight, he says, insight into reality. You know exactly what every element there represents. You know beyond what can be seen. You know beyond the description of the senses. And yet you have all the information of the senses. All the information that you could ever get from the earth realm. You're looking at scholastic erudition, where you play with your mind and you can communicate it mentally. But then he says, wisdom, where you go beyond what could be explained humanly. Look at this. Here the children of Israel are not only weak and armless, defenseless, they have no way to go. The Egyptians are coming after them. And this is no ordinary story. This is reality. The Egyptian army of the day was the world power. And they were coming after these slaves to take them back to bondage. And they're about to throw stones at Moses to kill him. They said, you brought us out here to destroy us. We want to go back to Egypt. They were scared because Pharaoh's chariots were coming, charging towards them. And the Red Sea was in front of them. There was nowhere to go. They were doomed. Now, Moses starts to pray now. He says, oh God, do something. God said, Moses, don't pray now. He said, this is not the time to pray. He said, tell the people to go forward. To where? The sea was right in front of them. And he said, tell the people to go forward. Oh, Lord Jesus. Into the sea? To where? God said, Moses, stretch your hand over the water and divide it. Now, look at it. With all the gnosis, I'm talking about mental activity, all the knowledge that you could ever get from thinking, from working out in your mind, all the information of science, calculate everything together. You cannot divide that sea. Not so fast. For 6 million Jews to go through on dry ground. How are you going to do it? What you need is the wisdom of the insight into reality. To see beyond all the calculations of physics. Do you understand? He says, stretch your hand over the water and divide it. Miracles are not magics. They are things that are based on spiritual laws of wisdom. Do you understand? They're not things that you said, oh, they just happened. Well, God just made it happen. No, it's based on spiritual laws. It's when you operate at a higher realm of life. There are physical laws, but there are spiritual laws. He says, stretch your hand over the water and divide it. And then, you see, he was training Moses on the miraculous. And Moses stretched his hand over the water. And the Bible says when he did, a strong wind from the presence of God surged through the water and parted it this way and that. And the water stayed like that. Stood up all night long until the children of Israel went through on dry ground. And after the last man had gone out, and the last man of Egypt, because Egypt went after them in the water, on the dry ground. After the last man of Egypt was inside, the first man of Egypt was inside, but the last man of Israel was outside. God said, Moses? Hey, hey. He said, stretch your hand. Let the water come back. And the water came down and covered them. And the army of Egypt perished in one day. How do you explain it? I told you about the axe head that Elisha made to swim. Elisha, the axe head, metal, axe head, heavy axe head. He caused it to come up, to float. How? He didn't pray. Sophia. Are you still there? The wisdom of God. Insight into reality. Look at, they came to Jesus. They said, Master, Master, him whom thou lovest is sick. Lazarus is sick. Please come and heal him. Jesus said, all right, no problem. He didn't go. He delayed. Lazarus died. Then Jesus called his disciples together. He said, let's go to Bethany. Why? He says, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. And I want to go and wake him up. They said, Master, if he's sleeping, that's all right. Why do you have to go there? He said, don't you understand? He's dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. He said, let's go. Now, Jesus went there. He said, I'm going to wake him up. He had told them when they came to him and said, he's sick and dying. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. The man died. Somebody said, I even had a prophecy that the job was mine. At the end, somebody else got it. I can't understand all these things. Shut up. Shut up. Operate with Sophia. Insight into reality.
It's time for your miracle.
I see a lady in a dream. Somebody put something into your mouth and you swallowed it. When you woke up, you felt like you wanted to throw it out. And you've been trying to throw it out ever since. And it never came out. And from time to time, you feel that discomfort from within you. And when you remember it, you want to throw up. In spite of the fact that you've thrown up several times, it didn't come out. Wherever you are, find your way to the front. Find your way. I want that lady to find her way to the front. I want to help you take that thing out of your life tonight.
Pastor, you just gave a word concerning someone
yep.
that swallowed something in a dream and has been trying to throw. I've got these ladies here
yep.
for the same case.
Come.
Pastor, there are some here too.
Okay, y'all come. It's the same devil. Just stand there. Stand there. Something is happening already. In the mighty name of Jesus.
thou devil of darkness, right now, get out of there now! Out! 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 It's coming out. It can't stay in you. It can't stay. Out of them now! Out!
In Mark chapter 9, verse 17, a certain man brought his son to Jesus for prayer. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Verse 26. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. These women are coughing out substances, some of them items that they had eaten in their dream experiences. And as they do so, the evil spirit departs from them. Glory to God.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah.
Wow. This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Gambia. Junction beside Tech World Petrol Station, off Co 2 Munjai Road, The Gambia. Worship with us on Sundays 8 a.m. Wednesdays 6 p.m. For inquiries or to share your testimonies with us, kindly call +220 309 3735 +220 418 7824 or email us at info@loveworldradionetworks.org. God bless you.